Good morning. It is good to see everyone that is able to be out this morning. Across the world today, there are many that are gathered together to celebrate the holiday of Easter as a religious holiday. I was looking at the news this morning, and there were, of course, many celebrations going on, and it's even greater for many this year because the Eastern Orthodox and the Greek Orthodox fall in together on this same day with the Catholics and others, and so there was a great number that are celebrating it as the day of the resurrection and keeping these things in mind. And as we read from the Scriptures, we see that we're not to celebrate this just once a year. We're not to think about the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross just once a year and reflect in that way, but we are to do that every first day of the week. And so this Lord's Day is no different than any others as we are concerned. And I always try to make it a point not to talk about the various, as far as the subject matter, the various religious holidays, so that no one will perceive that we lift this up as anything more than just a national holiday, one that we can get together and eat chocolate and hunt Easter eggs and things of that nature in a national holiday sort of way, just like we celebrate Christmas and other things, but that this is not in any way a religious holiday for us as children of God. Now, as you know, our gospel meeting begins next week, and the time for preparation has already begun, and we need to be really working ourselves today and looking at how we can better serve the Lord in the area of gospel meetings. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning, and I think the focus got bumped a little bit when we were cleaning yesterday, so if it looks a little out of focus, Lord willing, we'll have that fixed this evening. But hopefully you'll be able to read it. I was looking at the number before I got up here on the first one. And I was like, that doesn't look very clear like it usually does. And so if you would bear with us, and Chuck and I will do what we can to get it taken care of before this evening. It'll be nice and clear, Lord willing, then. But our time of the gospel meeting is coming up next week. And so I wanted to take today to look at some keys to having a successful gospel meeting. There are many in the church today that say gospel meetings are worthless. They don't bear any fruit, they don't do any good, and so therefore, let's do away with them. And there are many who say this without saying it out loud. They say it by saying, well, let's shorten our gospel meeting from a week down to 3 days, and then let's shorten it from 3 days down to 1 day of just looking at having kind of a miniature lecture, things of that nature, and then before long, it's like, well, let's just not have them all together. Let's just save the Lord's money. And we really need to understand that with our gospel meeting coming near, there has been and will be a good amount of the Lord's money that will have been spent on the preparations for this gospel meeting and paying the preacher to come and to speak with us. And Brother Don Bunting, I know, has been working on and preparing lessons so that he can be ready to preach the gospel when he gets here. And he's going to do the best that he can in preaching the gospel and sending it out in a way that he feels is necessary, preaching lessons that will be beneficial to those who are members of the church and to those that are not members of the church. And so he's going to be doing all that he can. He's preparing himself to do all that he can on his part to make this meeting as successful as possible. And so it really falls down, the rest of it falls down upon us in properly preparing ourselves that the gospel can go forth here in a way that might be beneficial to the Lord's body, that we might be edified, that we might be built up, that we might evangelize the lost. And so the majority of the work falls upon us, and so we've got to realize our responsibility, and we've got to accept it. The effort of the one who will be doing the preaching is very important, but it doesn't do any good for him to be preaching if there's no one here to listen, it doesn't. If there's no one out there listening to the things that he has to say, he'd be just as well sitting at home talking to himself. And so we need to make sure that we understand our part. And no matter how great a lesson he has, if we're not present, if we're not doing what we can, it will not reap its full benefits. And so let's begin by looking at what is required for a gospel meeting. And I believe that there are several keys that are necessary, beginning first and foremost with purpose. What is the purpose of the gospel meeting? Why even have a gospel meeting? And this is, like I said, a question that many are debating in business meetings or in the meetings of the elders. You know, why do we even have gospel meetings anymore? We never have anybody come out from the neighborhood, and we never have anybody come out. We don't have any baptisms like we used to. So Why do we even continue to have them? And that's why many say, well, let's just do away with them. But one of the primary purposes of a gospel meeting is evangelism. It's to evangelize those that are lost, to seek and save the lost through the proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you would look with me in Romans chapter 1, that is pretty blurry, isn't it? Romans chapter 1, let's begin reading there in verse 14. Some of you might take your glasses off and it might look pretty clear, I don't know. But Romans chapter 1, beginning there in verse 14, look there as the Apostle Paul says, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Thus, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. And so one of the major purposes of a gospel meeting is to provide an opportunity for the lost to hear the gospel. How many times have you invited a friend or a neighbor or relative to come to service with you on a Sunday, and they're like, no, I've got my own church that I go to. Well, here's your opportunity to invite them at a time when their regular services are not meeting. And you can take advantage of this opportunity for those that are lost. And so this is an opportunity for our friends and neighbors to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, there in verse 17, he said, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. No one can believe in God a saving faith without the Word of God. Now, we can all believe in God just by looking at the beauty of this creation, the orderliness that it runs in, and we might be looking out and go, well, it's not running too orderly right now. It's spring and it's snowing. And I've been teasing my parents with this, and they actually got to see a few snowflakes, and my brother down in Texas called my mother and said, don't ever tell me that it doesn't snow in East Texas. We counted 8 snowflakes. And so it doesn't really seem like it's running like it should, but this is exactly what God has planned. The weather is running just as he desires. And so everything's working like it should. We can believe in God, but to have saving faith requires reading or hearing the Word of God. And that's one of the primary purposes of this gospel meeting that we're having next week, is so that the lost can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But another purpose of the gospel meeting, and this is what many gospel meetings have begun to focus on, because we have such a difficult time getting our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, and our associates to come out, is for edification. It's to edify the brethren, to exhort one another to love and good works. We just talked about this last week in Hebrews chapter 10, and I won't add any extra commentary today. We discussed it pretty well last week, but in Hebrews chapter 10, let's begin reading there in verse 24. And there the author of Hebrews says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so we see that we have an opportunity in the upcoming week to do this assembling ourselves together all the more as we see that day, and we discuss the various ideas that people have of that day, but whatever it is, we need to be doing it more as it draws near. And so this is our opportunity as brothers and sisters in Christ to come together in a more often fashion, to spend more time in study of the Word of God. And we need to be taking full advantage of that. We also need to be reviving our first love. You ever sit back and just think, you know, I'm just not as zealous as I was when I first obeyed the gospel? You know, I've been rejected so many times by my friends and my family, and they won't listen to me, and I go out and I talk to people about the gospel and they just won't listen anymore, and I just don't do it as much. And so that's another reason for the gospel meeting. In Revelation chapter 2, there beginning in verse 4, we have the Lord dictating this letter to the church there in Ephesus in these 7 letters that were given out. And he says there in verse 4, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. And so sometimes we need to be reminded of where we were in the beginning. We need to be pumped up. We need to be encouraged to go back and to serve the Lord with that zeal that we had in the beginning, that we don't begin to believe that the gospel is not the power of God unto salvation. Let me tell you, folks, that's what a lot of people have turned to in the denominational realm. And even with those who claim to be of the body of Christ, they're turning away from the power of God to the power of luring them through everything else they can imagine. Whether it be having lectures on how to watch your money and things of that nature, trying to get people in the door from that and then sneak the gospel in. We need to make sure that we understand the powers in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we need to be using that power, and we need to return to the love that we once had for the Word of God. Or else, look there, he says, I am coming to you, and I will remove your lampstand. That's not an individual thing, folks. He's going to remove the lampstand, which signifies the church being a part of the body of Christ. And if they did not return to their first love, if they did not return to the zeal that they had in the beginning, they no longer would be considered a part of the body of Christ. And so we want to make sure that doesn't happen here at the Wellsburg Church of Christ, that we continue to have a lampstand there in heaven signifying us being a part. And so we need to return to our first love. And in that same vein, we need to also remove any lukewarmness that may have crept into the Lord's body. As you go over into the next chapter, Revelation chapter 3, there beginning in verse 15, we have in this letter to the church in Laodicea, he says, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore be zealous and repent. And so there was a problem that had crept into the local church there, and they had just been going through the motions. And we need to make sure that this gospel meeting we're entering into next week is not just a form of going through the motions. We've always had a spring meeting, and this meeting was already scheduled, and therefore we're going to go ahead and have it because that's what we've always done. We need to avoid that. And there's a danger in that, and that's why I appreciated the brethren in being willing to extend the amount of gospel meetings they have and having one out at the old Bethany Church of Christ building. That we did more than what we normally do. We're not looking at, well, this is just what we always do, but we're trying to do more. And let's continue that with this meeting here, and use this as an opportunity to remove any lukewarmness. Come with an attitude of serving God. Come with a zeal and a desire to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ, to spend time in singing praises unto God. Nothing should lift us up more than that. Studying from His Word. And so we need to be taking advantage of all of these things. And these are the purposes for, some of the purposes for having a gospel meeting. And some meetings are designed for one particular purpose. They're only for evangelism. Others are designed only for edification. And many are designed to take care of both things. But regardless of whatever its purpose might be, another key to a successful meeting is preparation. This is where many churches fail. This is where many are saying, how come we don't have people coming out and visiting in the way that they used to? How come we don't have as many obeying the gospel as they used to? And we go, well, it's because the world just doesn't want to hear it anymore. Let me tell you something, folks, the world hasn't changed that much. Yes, the world has become more convenient, and we can bring more and more into our homes and feel like we have to give less and less back to God, but there are still those out there that are seeking after the Lord, that are desiring, hungering, and thirsting after righteousness. We just have to prepare ourselves in a way that we can bring them out. And we need to understand that a lack of preparation can kill a meeting. What would you think of a preacher? What would you think of Brother Don Bunting if he came up here Sunday morning and he's had all this time to prepare and he comes up here and he's like, I don't really know what I'm going to talk about today. I just got busy and I forgot about the meeting, and then, you know, Saturday evening rolled along and I was driving so I couldn't study then, and he's just unprepared. What would you think of a preacher who was unprepared? Well, you would never invite him back, would you? And you would probably do your best to replace him before the Sunday evening service, wouldn't you? whether it be the local preacher standing in or whatever the case might be, you would do what you can to get him out. But yet, when we look at how people prepare for a meeting, many are unprepared to attend each and every service. How long has this meeting been in the works? The dates have been set in April for quite some time, and been definitely set for the 15th through the 20th for several months. Have we taken the time to prepare ourselves to look and make sure that we can be present at every single service? Many are unprepared to encourage other members to attend. They are not looking to attend themselves, and so they're not ready to encourage others. Many are unprepared to exhort the members at the service. Well, it's kind of hard to exhort if you're not there yourself, right? And that's one way that many are unprepared to exhort, because they're not going to be there to help encourage the others. Many are unprepared to invite those for whom the meeting is attended. And many are unprepared to visit and to welcome those who do come. You know, nothing says greater things to a visitor, and I have been a visitor in many congregations. Nothing is better than having every member of the Lord's church in that local area come up and speak with you. I spoke with a congregation in Birmingham, Alabama, a congregation of over 300 individuals. I don't think I've ever shook so many hands in my life. Men, women, young people, children, all came to Anna and me, and they all shook our hands, and I found out I'm kin to a couple of them because they found out my grandfather was Grady Black, and they're like, hey, we're kin to him. And I was like, well, I can't go anywhere without finding someone that I'm kin to. But we need to be prepared. We've got to step outside of our comfort zone and step out. And when we have visitors, each and every one of us, it doesn't mean as much when it's the preacher that comes up and says, hi, it's good to have you, we appreciate you coming, because that's expected of him. Everybody, it's the preacher's job, you should be doing this. It means a lot more when every other member comes up and says, we really appreciate you coming, and we'd love to study with you further if you would like. And so we need to be sure that we are preparing ourselves, and preparation involves effort by all the members. It involves resolving to attend every service, setting your mind now, not Monday, well, do I feel like going to church? I'm not sure. It really means resolving weeks ago, this is a week that I'm going to set aside for further service to God. I'm going to set aside every night that I can possibly go, and I'm going to make sure that I can make it to every service. It means resolving to invite others to come and to hear the gospel. It means resolving to be friendly to all those who do come, not just whipping in right before time for service to begin and whipping out as soon as it's over. It means giving yourself time to get here early, to welcome the visitors, to stay a little bit later, to make sure that they understand that they're welcome to come back and we really appreciate them coming. Perhaps even resolving to do something a little extra. Like if we have visitors, preparing that maybe one night after services, we're going to prepare to invite some of the visitors to our home or down to the Dairy Queen or whatever to get to know them a little bit better. I'm going to tell you from personal experience, that's a wonderful thing. Nothing makes you feel more welcome than for someone to go, well, we're all going over to the house for some coffee. Would you like to come over? It can mean a lot. And we need to be resolving, and this is very important. We should have already been doing this, but if we haven't, let's start doing it every day, many times a day, resolving to pray for God to bless this effort. If we do this without God, it will be unsuccessful. If we do this and think that it's all on our own merits, it's all on the preaching of Don Bunting, it's all in our inviting, if we do all of this without praying to God, then it's all for naught. Successful preparation means working as though it depends on us, and praying as though it depends upon God. And so, real quickly, let's look at one more thing as we close out our lesson this morning, and that is the prospects of a gospel meeting. Who are the prospects? Well, when you have a meeting that is designed for the purpose of evangelism, the prospects are those that are lost. They are those that are the unsaved, those that have not put on Jesus Christ through obedience to His Word. It may include friends, relatives, neighbors, whomever. We have a responsibility to make sure that we understand who the prospects are. It is really anyone who has yet come to the Lord. Think about it. That's the drunk, the drug addict. Anybody that you can think of that is not a child of God, they deserve an invitation. Now, they may not accept it. That's not our responsibility. Remember what we talked about several weeks ago? We're just seed throwers and water boys. Part of your responsibility is throwing out the seed. We're having a gospel meeting. We'd love to have you come. If they don't accept it, you've done your part. Don't look at them as having rejected you. And that's what gets a lot of us down. We get the feeling that they're rejecting us. But we need to remember, as the Lord told Samuel when they were crying out, "We want a king, we want to be like the nations around us," they're not rejecting us. As the Lord said, they're rejecting me. They're rejecting the Lord. And so let's be doing what we can to invite those that are lost, that are outside the body of Christ, that they might come and be a part of this. And for a meeting that is designed to edify, we are the prospects. Every member of this congregation is a prospect. No one is present here that doesn't need to be edified in some way. No one. Or if you feel that you're beyond the need of edification, you're needed to edify us. If you're doing so great, we need you to edify us. And so no one is above being needed in this meeting that we're having. Every member needs to be encouraged. Every member needs to be uplifted. Every one of us, we get down, we get depressed. The world sets us back, and we need to be brought back in our first love that we had for the Lord. And so what should be done for the prospects? Well, for those that are outside the local body of Christ, they should be invited. They should be invited before, and don't think, well, Sunday we've done all of our inviting, we're done. Until the doors open Friday night, until you get through those doors Friday night, you have the responsibility to invite to the gospel meeting. As you're going, you can be calling, "You know, I invited you. You're going to be able to make it? This is the last night. We've had an excellent meeting." Don't lie to them if it's not. But just tell them, "You know, we've got the gospel being preached. I think Brother Don's going to do the best that he can. And I have a feeling, I've never heard him preach, but I know of others that think highly of him. So I have great expectations of the preaching that's going to be being done here." And so remind them, those that you've invited before, remind them afterwards. And a lot of people go, "Well, I don't have a way." This is where preparation comes in. Prepare to offer transportation to those who need it. "You don't have a way? Well, I'll come pick you up." You see, you're taking away all their excuses. "We're having a gospel meeting." "Well, I can't make it Monday night." "Well, we're meeting Tuesday night." "Well, I can't make it Tuesday night." "Well, we're meeting Wednesday night." "I can't make it Wednesday night." "We're meeting Thursday night." You're taking away excuses. "I don't have a way Friday. I could make it Friday, but I don't have a way." "Well, I'll come get you." Or maybe even inviting them to dinner. And then attend the meeting together. "Well, we're so busy. When we get home from work, I don't really have time when it comes time to feed the kids." Well, here's what you do. You just go home, get dressed, come on over, and we'll provide you with some supper, and we'll just go to the meeting together. You see, we need to be doing all that we can to remove the excuses that people try to give for not attending the gospel meeting. And we need to be preparing ourselves so that we can have a successful gospel meeting. There are plenty of prospects. The Lord said in John chapter 4 and verse 35, He said to His disciples, "Look onto the fields, they are white for the harvest." The world has not changed. There are many souls out there that are seeking after Jesus Christ, that are looking for the truth. They're going from denomination to denomination, trying to find someone who's teaching the Word as it is found here in the Holy Bible. We need to make sure that we're giving them the opportunity to inspect us, to study with us, to see if we are in truth preaching the Word of God. And so let's be doing all that we can to prepare ourselves. Lord willing, this evening we'll look at two more things that will make for a successful gospel meeting. And so I hope that you come back this evening and study with us. If you would, go ahead and turn your song to the Song of Invitation, number 267. I appreciate Nathan for picking out this song, because we forget sometimes. We always look at this and go, "It's a kid's song." Well, no, it's a song for us. And it's a song to remind us of what Jesus holds for us. He holds a great amount of love for us. His love for us is so great that He came to this world. He lived a common life. He lived throughout those last 3 years preaching and teaching the coming of the kingdom of God, preparing himself to be that perfect sacrifice that we can have our sins forgiven. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the opportunity. Today is the day that salvation is offered to you. Jesus loves you. And you can show your love for Him by obeying His gospel, by coming forward and confessing your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, and being buried in baptism. That's how we can show our love for Jesus Christ, our appreciation for what He's done. But perhaps you've obeyed the gospel, but you've gone back in the world. You've allowed other things to come into your life, and as we talked last week, you've trampled underfoot the Son of God. You've counted His blood as a common thing. Then come forward and once again confess your belief that you love Jesus Christ and your desire to be faithful to Him and repent of your sins, and we'll go to God in prayer with you and for you that you'll be forgiven of these things. And you can once again enjoy the love of Jesus. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, come forward now as we stand and as we sing.